This is Corolla Digital. Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate. Get it on. Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting the show. Thanks for making it so popular so fast. And again, if you want to support the show, you click through the Amazon banner on the Adam and Drew page.
Chris, do not turn that down. Mm-hmm. Keep it going. Can you really get it on to that music?
No. I listen.
Do we need a new aphorism for this show?
I like classical music. And yes, maybe we need a new aphorism, but not new music. I love classical. I think people would be smarter. I miss it. I want them to pump it into every mall, into every school.
Classical music and exercise compares well against antidepressants, which is something you've always said.
Yeah. Well, no, here's what I've always said when way back in the day when Dr. Drew and I would do the show together is people would say, I'm depressed. And I'd say, listen to classical music and start jogging.
Yeah.
And you'll feel better.
It's true.
When did that study come out?
Recently. Took 10 years to catch up with.
Why don't we just go back and listen to everything I said from 1998 so we could figure out what to do now? Because it's all I ever said.
Cancer sniffing dog. There's one right there. Cancer sniffing dogs.
That's right.
Classical music and exercise. Attack crows.
It just real TV, reality TV. We used to talk about all the time.
It was unsatisfying. We had this conversation last time you and I were together, and it was unsatisfying to me when I said, "What's the future?" Oh, great one. Mm-hmm. And you're like, "I'll let you know."
Well, I have to be inspired by things. Okay. Things have to come up. Okay. You have to ask me a question. I know empirically that classical music and exercise, it's hard to listen to that and to be breaking a sweat and be depressed.
Yeah.
It's a sedentary life that sort of does that.
Yeah.
And you know, and it's also
– it's catch-22. It's hard to get up and get going when you're depressed too though, right?
Right. Yeah. But you also know that a pill – you see, I believe that depression, part of it is physiological or sure. chemical or whatever. Sure. But then there's another part of it that is sort of – it's not psychological, but it's action-oriented.
Spiritual?
Which is,
would you put another spiritual?
No, what I mean is you can't be a depressed person who gets up early and swims 200 laps at the Y.
Right. So it's not what
a depressed person does.
But because moods and brain stuff like mood are bodily based,
right.
When you change your body states, you change your mood state, right?
Right. It's why, you know, like I said, you know, when someone says, "How are you doing?" you should say, "I'm doing great." Maybe not with so much
I've noticed
vigor.
You've adopted that. That seems to be your policy all
yeah.
the time.
No, yeah. That's why I say you should. Do as I say, not as I do.
But it's catch-22, again, though, because it's like snake eating the tail. If you feel shitty or depressed, it's hard to go do those things, but it's why you must do those things.
Right, but taking a pill, blaming your parents and now the government is never going to cure that.
Mm.
I can tell you, no one is depressed in the middle of a tsunami.
Right.
You want to know why? You're fucking running for your life.
Tsunami.
When you're running for your life, yeah. you're not depressed because right. you're just running for your life. Like
right.
when you're being attacked by Kodiak Bear, you will not be depressed. I mean, you could go – here's what you could do. You could go for a hike. You could do one of those kill yourself in the wilderness things, which is – in a way, I kind of like it. You know, the people that just go hike up to, the waterfalls up on up in Maui, and then yeah. they just eat a bullet.
Right.
It's good for you. It's a bummer for the guy who was going to propose to his girlfriend.
The sheriffs have to pull you out too.
No, not the sheriffs. The next camper.
Yeah.
The guy who says I'm going for a hike because I'm on vacation and I'm going to find this guy who ate a bullet. Now it's cool. If there's another guy who's going up there to kill himself and he finds you. But the people who go hiking The people that go
– is there a giant metaphor here for life?
There is.
Okay.
Just
okay.
Listen to me.
I'm listening. Listen
to me. Listen to me. Well, here's what I'm saying.
Everybody listen to you?
Everybody listen to me. If you're a dude and you go, look, I'm going to go up Mount Killamuka and I'm going to go up to the top where the falls are at sunset and I brought my 44 and I'm going to kill myself. And then you're walking up Mount Killamuka and you're that depressed. I mean, you're going to end it all. And you're going up to Mount Killamuka and you're halfway up. And even though it's not indigenous to the Hawaiian Islands, a Kodiak bear spots you on the end of the trail and starts coming after you. You turn and run. I'll guarantee you are not depressed. I'll bet you turn and use that gun on the Kodiak bear.
Yeah.
I bet you feel alive. And I bet after running 100 yards, sweating your ass off, and shooting that bear, you wouldn't continue up the mountain to kill yourself.
Well, I think there is actually some profound wisdom in what you're saying because it bears out observationally in what
– bear.
That's pretty weird, isn't it? Probably somewhere in my brain I did that. But it bears out observationally in terms of what people report that survive jumps from bridges.
Oh,
so
yeah.
As soon as you jump off a bridge, you get this rush of adrenaline. You try to save yourself. And the first thought that people report if they survive is, I made a huge mistake.
Well, that's why I – that's
by the way, Martha Stewart, you putting a little cozy under my coat?
No, I'm trying to fucking pad the – I'm trying to avoid the next 51 minutes of you doing
– I see. All right. Okay. All right.
Because there's no amount of conversations we can have to stem the tide of you banging mugs on hard surfaces.
Right.
It started day one when we met. We will take it to our grave, and there's nothing physically. There's no force in nature that can be used to impart this wish of mine that you don't take your ceramic mug and bang it on hard
surfaces.
But
there's some Christmas gifts.
It's literally impossible.
Adam, Christmas gifts.
It's literally
like
impossible.
A padded cup or something.
We need a carpet swatch for Dr. Drew because it's physically impossible, no matter how many times it's discussed, you'd make the world's worst second story man. Like,
right.
You'd be upstairs, you know that thing where the rich people are having the party down below,
and
then you go up to steal the jewels?
No, I drop shit.
You'd just be going, you'd come in through the window, and then after you came in through the window, you'd slam it shut. And I'd be like, shh. And you'd be like,
what?
Okay.
No, I'd be like, what? What?
What?
What?
Oh, my phone's going off. Hold on, let me set my mug down, and I'd be like, shh, quiet. Why are you wearing tap shoes? You're wearing tap shoes? I told you to wear Uggs. You're wearing tap shoes? And then you'd just be setting stuff down. You'd probably fire up like an electric razor. You'd want to
shave.
But
see, for you, there's like a volitional component to it. My thing would have been, as you were telling me about the noise I'd be making, I'd be going, huh? What? What? I've not heard this. I have not heard it. I know it drove you insane. I get it. I'm trying to be careful. I am.
No.
But it doesn't
true.
Register.
I know. But listen, one should be able to take in not criticism, but just literally language and convert it into actions. Do you not agree with that?
No, I do. But it's also like telling me to
teaching your daughter to drive and you're saying signal and then change lanes. And then she changes lanes and you say signal and then change lanes and she changes lanes. And you go, here's the procedure. You signal and then you change lanes.
Right.
That's the order of things.
Yeah.
And she should be able to absorb that information and then apply it. Your Rock Hard coffee mug makes a distracting sound on the top of this console is something that you should be able to absorb and then
apply.
Now that
you bring it to my attention, I can. But then I'll make some other shitty noise.
I bring it to your attention every show for the last 14 years. All right. Anyway, I put something under here. The point is this. We need a Nerf studio so that the Dr. Drew – look, talk to your therapist of why let's not focus on my obsession with sound. Let's focus on your inability to stop making sound because it's easy enough to do. Look, you had triplets.
Yeah.
When they were asleep and you were a kid, you would go in their room if you had to go get something or shut off something or something in a different mode, right?
Yeah.
Quiet mode. You wouldn't take your keys and throw it down on the nightstand. You didn't want to wake
but
him up.
But I have like a Tourette's-y weird, like I can't, like I'm too anxious and so I fuck things up. You know what I mean?
No, yeah, I know. No, I know. But what I'm saying is maybe you need this engagement with me.
Okay, I'm going to try. I intend to. Whether I can. It's like literally I got a dance instructor or something.
But you can't physically put your coffee mug down in such a way that doesn't make a noise.
But here's the deal. I'm going to focus on this goddamn coffee mug, and I promise you I'll fuck something else up and bother you.
See, there you go. You don't have to.
I'll try. Okay. I will do my best.
All right. Anyway, when people jump off of bridges.
Yes.
And again, we'll get a piece of foam rubber for Dr. Drew, not for anyone else. Because he has an inability to set the mug down. When people jump off of bridges and they live, and there's not too many of them that do that, unless they're the ones that jump off just a super low, like covered bridge ones. But I believe that that's just a cry for help.
I think so.
They're only 8 feet above a pond in New Hampshire. Yeah. When they jump off the Golden Gate Bridge, their first thought was, I want back on this bridge when they're 3 feet off the bridge.
Right.
And unfortunately, they're not getting back on the bridge.
Right.
Now, I do believe that's a biomechanical, just chemical surge of brain jumping in.
But it's the same survival thing that makes you run away from the bear, too.
Yeah, it's the same thing that, look, the simplest, easiest way and most the cleanest, cheapest, and arguably most portable way of killing yourself would be by holding your own breath.
Right.
Except for we can't do that.
Right.
It's a weird thing. I mean, think about that. We can't because at some point our reflex just sets in and goes, I don't care how badly you want to kill yourself. I need some oxygen in my lungs. And you open your mouth.
Interesting.
So you cannot stop your lung. I mean, it's a weird thing because you can volitionally hold a .44 up to your temple and squeeze the trigger, but you can't hold your breath and kill yourself.
Yeah,
although I'd like to meet that one guy. And if I did, I'll bet you he was Japanese.
The one guy that did kill himself?
I mean, there's one Japanese guy who killed himself by holding his own breath.
Couldn't he be Indian, like a yogi or something?
I think he was Japanese.
Yeah.
This guy was Japanese. Yeah. And that, to me, that's a hero.
So this is like a kamikaze-esque guy.
That's just a guy with so much intestinal fortitude and such a strong will that he's able to kill himself by holding his own breath.
But by the time you go unconscious from lack of oxygen, you'll breathe.
That's why he's a hero.
He's a hero,
That's why he's a hero, Drew.
Yeah.
There's only one guy. Comes from a small town.
Outside Kyoto.
Inside Kyoto.
Outside.
Outside Kyoto.
If it was inside Kyoto, it would be a medium to large-sized town. Yeah, where the statue is. Yeah.
It's the one guy. And usually they have these guys rearing back on a horse and holding a sword. This guy's on a futon. It's the only time you see a guy laid out on a futon in a statue with two X's where his eyes were.
Look across.
The two X's. Mm-hmm. All right.
Hey, one other thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you have to read all that stuff?
I don't have to read all that stuff. We didn't read.
I know.
Drew, how long can I talk? Okay.
Go ahead. Be transparent. I thought you – what the hell?
We have a TV screen. There are reminders
of
things that I want to bring up. I don't read stuff. I speak about things
from the
heart.
Well, I know you don't read. I know
Unlike
that.
That Japanese guy who killed himself by holding his own breath.
I know that.
Man crates. I don't know if you know about this.
What is it?
We have this new crate. It's great because it's
I did see it out there by the refrigerator.
Yeah.
What's it? Is something in it?
Yeah. It's got a signed autographed book of mine, not Taco Bell material. It's got a bottle of Mangria.
Ooh.
It's got two Mangria glasses. Mm. It's got season two of our podcast DVD. That's all the DVDs. And also we have a signature version that has the autographed book. Oh, this one just has a book. Yeah, we have the autographed book and we have the Mangria t-shirt in there as well. And you can go to mancrates.com.
Hold on. This is the price. It's priceless, right?
Hey, you priceless. Can't put a price on
it. $1,000. $1,000?
It's less than
$1,000. $999 for sure.
It's a deal. If you took every individual part and broke it down and sold it at its street value, it'd be worth way more than we're charging. www.mancrates.com/Adam's got all the good stuff in it. It's a fun Christmas gift for anyone who's a fan. All right.
All right, Drew, one other thing.
You were going to say.
Yeah. Before we came on the air, I said, hey, Adam Cohen Show, Andy Cohen Show. Probably not a show I go on by myself.
Andy Cohen.
But
yeah, he does the live show.
That's right.
Of the Gay Housewives show.
That's right. And our wives were there yesterday.
Yes,
and
I've been there.
Right, and I guess pitched us, and he wants us in there. Mm-hmm. And you went, and you had a strange reaction. You went, "Oh, us."
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, what was that?
You mean that why us?
No. Why the 1-1000? Oh, guys, was I not clear, or is that me again?
I knew our wives were going in there. I had a you know how I take everything and turn it into something negative,
right? And I knew it meant something. I just wondered what you were thinking.
Well, what I was thinking was my wife went out to New York to do a Mangria business trip, which is good, but it's I didn't feel like she needed to fly out to deliver a bottle to Andy Cohen. But it turns out your wife is out there, and they were sort of having fun and a business trip. Didn't seem to be enough business.
Wife's not a business trip.
I know, and my wife is, except for there's not that much business out there.
Right.
So I think it's just a trip to New York.
Right.
But I spoke to her last night, and I said, "Where are you going?" And she said, "Me and Susan Pinsky, your wife, we're heading over to see Andy Cohen, and we're going to pitch him the Mangria, and we're going to give him a bottle of Mangria, and, you know, we're going to see maybe he's going to drink it on the show." You know, they drink on the show.
Good, right?
I drink Mangria on the show. Yeah. And I said, "Oh, good. Who's the guest?" She said, "I don't know." And I said, "Well, maybe, why don't you know?" And she said, "It changes all the time." And I said, "Well, when's the show air?" And she said, "Tonight.
It's live.
It's live." I said, "Well, but don't you want to know who the guest? Maybe the guest is Lisa Lampanelli, in which case that's a big fan of mine. She loves a Mangria. It'd be fun to have Lisa Lampanelli drinking Mangria out there. Or maybe you get someone who hates me, or maybe you get someone who's, you know, recovering addict, alcoholic, whatever. Right. In which case, you wouldn't want to present them with it." And she said, we'll find out. And I my reaction was, or you could have gone online and just
found out. It's a business trip, Adam. It's a view there for business. Relax.
It was. Now, I know.
Mr. Man.
It's sort of academic because she'll just get there. But see, the thing is what I wanted was go online, find out guest, and then come back to me and go, "Do you know this? You know, how good are you with this person? Or does this person hate your guts?
Why
or should
you,
I talk to this
wouldn't
person?"
Wouldn't it be reasonable to go, "Hey, Lynette, let's go online right now and check it out"?
No, they're walking to the studio.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Got a smartphone thing? Got this phone deal?
I'm just saying the whole trip is to go there to see Andy Cohen. And I asked who the guest was because I figured it would be part of the plan to get that guest to drink. And I don't know. Is okay. It just doesn't feel like due diligence to me. It feels like some could have checked in 3 minutes from your room online. But she would say it's academic because whoever it is, it'll be whoever it is. Except for it's not because
you're a pain in the ass, to be fair.
She would say I was a pain in the ass. Yeah. But I would know. It could have been really cool. I mean, there are people that really cool with, and then there's Wendy Williams who hates my guts, you know. So if it's Wendy Williams, it's don't get near her.
Wendy Williams hates you? That's weird. Why?
Well, actually, she apologized and sent over a bottle of booze. So
she'll be fine.
So she's fine. Yeah. I did her show in New York.
Oh. Uh-oh.
And it was fine. And then when I was done doing her show, she went on her blog or she went on her whatever she does, and she basically said I was a slob and I showed up and I didn't even have the respect to get dressed.
Well, that's true.
To do her show.
That's true.
I was wearing by the way,
you came on my show in underwear basically.
I didn't know we were being filmed from the waist down. I wore a nice shirt or a hipster shirt. I wore designer jeans, and I wore these, boots that zip up on the side. But the show films at 11 o'clock in the morning. It's not a suit and tie show. I'm wearing
– Well, there you are.
I'm wearing – you can see I'm wearing boots.
You look like Mr. Burcham.
I'm wearing
– No? No?
Yeah.
You're wearing a flannel shirt. That's all right.
Do you see what I'm talking about? Do you see what I have to deal with? Yeah, I'm dressed like Mr. Burcham. That's what I'm dressed.
No, not like like Mr. Burcham in a good, not in the shop. Like a dude. You're dressed like a dude.
All right. Let's just push
you're not.
On.
You don't have a fucking button down.
Yes, that
cotton
is.
Shirt.
That is.
Like
a, that is. A, no, it is not flannel. It is cotton. It is button down.
It's not button down. But that means button on each.
Oh, sorry. You can see the boots.
Those are nice.
Okay. Right. Okay.
Those forget are very it. Nice. Mr. And a nice
Mr.
pair
Burcham.
Of jeans.
I'm dressed like a shop teacher. All right. Look. Don't. Let's. Anyway.
And your hair is nice.
Let's just push.
You look good.
All right. Don't try to make it. Don't try to fix it. Let's just push forward. Anyway, she said I came on her show dressed like a slob and blah, blah, blah. So I basically told her to fuck off.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Because what the fuck do I care? What am I listening to that for?
No, you look nice. I okay. say you look bad.
Yeah, I know. I look like Mr. Burcham, the shop teacher.
No.
the 61-year-old shop teacher. Dressed like Mr. Burcham. All right. So anyway, we'll find out who the guest on Andy Cohen show was. You know, so that's why I paused, because I was thinking I wanted, if you're going to New York and you're going to meet Andy Cohen, and that's really that's the reason for the plane ticket and the hotel, you should find out who the guest is going to be that night. That's my feeling.
Do you know yet who it was?
No, I don't know.
I saw an Instagram picture. Can we check a second, try to find it and see what it was?
Yeah. Now, I know all I do is bitch about things, so.
Really?
Yeah, you? But there's a way to avoid it.
Wait, hold on a second.
But in this particular case, you'd have to side with me, right?
Well, in every case, of course.
Drew, seriously.
Seriously, yes.
I'm not angry or anything. I'm just saying, like, if this is a business trip, do your business.
Yeah. Okay. I get it.
Yeah. But still good. Still happy. Still in love.
What I understand was how they kept her out of Madison Square Garden with the boss there.
Oh,
Aisha.
Oh, that's that I don't understand.
Yeah.
Aisha Tyler was a guest, and that's good because Aisha Tyler's good. And then, like I said, it becomes academic. But what I was saying to her was you can get Aisha Tyler's, get her favorite flowers and bring it with her and say, right. These
with
are from
mangria.
Adam. He's a huge fan, and here's his mangria. That's what I'm saying. And, dump a little grape soda in there. Cut it. You know what I mean?
Grape soda.
It's a cultural thing. All right, should we take some phone calls?
Let's do it.
You got anything you like up there? Too bad. We'll just start at the top. Amy? Amy?
Niagara Falls.
Sorry. Let's see. Amy?
Hi.
What's going on?
Oh, a lot of stuff right now.
Mm-hmm.
But specifically, I was kind of curious as to your guys' opinion as to how I should kind of confront my husband again, because every way I've done before hasn't worked. I've been with him 8 years, married two, and he seems to have a shopping or spending addiction.
What's he doing? What's happening?
We've been living hand-to-mouth, paycheck to paycheck for a while, and at first, because when I was younger and we didn't have
Hold on a second. Part of the problem with my conversation with Lynette is I was heading out to Irvine for the fourth night in a row to do a show.
Oof.
In traffic.
Oof.
You know, some of it is where you're at. Like if I was sitting in a hot tub and she said, we're going to see Andy Cohen and I don't know who the guest is, I would have been like, well, so be it.
Yeah.
But I was sitting in traffic heading out to Irvine for the fourth night in a row. And I was like, I was in a bad mood.
Did you tell her that?
No. I was just in a I'm going to work mood.
So here's from the set. I'm showing Adam a picture of the – there's Aisha Tyler there in the middle, right?
Yeah, there she is.
Who's next to her? I can't see who that is.
I have no idea who that is. All right.
So there you go.
But anyway, listen, I appreciate the effort. It was just one of those things. I was on my way to work. I wanted a little due diligence. That's all.
Good. Very humble of you to admit it.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Takes a big man.
Yeah,
does. Go ahead, Amy. Sorry.
Oh. Well, he just – every time he gets cash, he spends it.
What's he spending on?
Well, he has collections that he has. And, of course, it's the comic books and collectible toys. And he'll go to Toys R Us and spend money on himself and not the kids.
Oh, boy.
And it's aggravating because I'm paying all the bills with what little I get, so I'm broke. He drove me into bankruptcy, well, both of us, but... and maxed out three credit cards I didn't even know he had.
What is it with these dudes, these adult dudes? Another thing I've been complaining about for over 10 years, these adult males and they the collection of action figurines and – though this is Wolverine. This is Unit 1 of Wolverine. Mm-hmm. This is a first edition print of Wolverine. Don't even touch it. I use tweezers to turn the pages. Don't even look at it. It's never seen the sunlight. By the way, this is going to send our kids through college. I understand if you think something is an investment, but really, grown males with the fucking comic books and the action figures and the Star Wars bullshit, what the fuck is going on, Drew? I've been asking this for a long time.
I don't understand it. It feels like a little sort of shortage in the male-female action during high school and college or something. Like they got off track right in there when they should have been focusing on reproduction. You know what I'm saying?
They should have been chasing pussy. Instead, they're chasing Spider-Man.
Doesn't feel like that?
Well, hold on.
That explains a lot.
A lot of it, look, a lot of it is retarded sexuality. But like, look at this guy with the bulging muscles and the super tight shorts and the cape and then like in the big package, like the big bulge who like fights struggles with other men with big muscles. Like, I'm going to go watch him instead of get some pussy. It's something very homoerotic and sort of misplaced sexuality.
But at least that sort of has envy for somebody that could be sexual attached to it, right? Mm-hmm. Doesn't have that kind of quality.
Yeah.
And this has like, oh no, I just got off the train. I just couldn't. That's not up for me.
Amy,
so
what do you do for a living?
I went back into childhood. So
what do you do and what does he do?
Well, he has been, since he started working in the restaurant management industry. I actually am a laid off banker right now due to the economy. So I'm getting unemployment, but, you know, obviously that's not going to be nearly as much as
you
what I was
clicked
thinking.
Unemployment, Adam?
Okay.
What do you think, Drew?
Because I asked that question. Hey, put it on hold again a sec. Because that's such an interesting – I wouldn't even know how to apply for unemployment. Would you know how to apply for unemployment?
I don't know how to think about applying for unemployment because I don't know how to not work. Or if I'm not working, all I can think about is – getting some other kind of work.
Isn't that
or
weird?
Doing something.
But we
borrowing money from a friend. Like I don't have anybody helps me but me mode.
Well, that's the only mode I have, and maybe I'm impaired that way. But what so many people on unemployment, and God, I'm glad it's there, but I don't understand. Well, I'm on unemployment, so I'm fine right now.
There's people in Hollywood.
I'd be in a panic.
There's people in Hollywood that, you know, work 6 months, go on unemployment for 6 months, then get another gig, and then go right back to unemployment. You know, actors do it.
Really?
Yeah, there's Hollywood people do it all the time, which because you have gigs that last, you know, 3 months, and then you're out. You're into something else.
See, I don't expect anything from the government or from unemployment, right? Oh, here we go.
Oh, you got your carpet swatch.
Thank you.
There you go. Yeah, no, I don't. See, that's the whole thing, and this is what I preach, and this is what everyone thinks I'm a douchebag about it, but I'm like, I don't want you thinking about the government for anything other than fix the potholes and, end the North Korean nuclear attack threat, you know. Like, I want you focusing on their intercontinental ballistic missiles that could, you know, land on us. But other than that, like when it comes to support, family, money, bills, whatever, I don't even think about it. No, and look, I was poor my whole life. I've never been on unemployment or collected welfare. I saw my mom do it and realized this was not a road to riches. I understand why people do it. And
I'm glad there's a net there. I'm not being critical.
No.
It's so weird to me that so many people think that way. You know, it's like,
And I are the same in that we don't think that way, and it's probably stupid not to think that way because you earn it.
I mean, literally, like, I do not expect to receive Social Security when I'm at that age. I will not get it, as far as I'm concerned.
Because that's the way
the government's never given me anything, and I'm just assuming that's how it's going to go my whole life. That's it, period.
No, I had Kevin Nealon tell me, I said, listen, everyone's talking about their retirement and their pension funds and all that kind of stuff. And I said, I don't have a pension fund. And then he said, yeah, you do. And
SAG.
I said, I do? And he said, yeah, SAG.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, how's that even work?
I mean, that's my question, too. What happens? I don't
see, SAG and Social Security, and everyone else could save themselves a ton of money with me and Dr. Drew, which is just never send us a penny ever, and I would never ask for it, and I would never know. But I'm also the person who's been driving in Los Angeles for 30 years and never filed an insurance claim. I've been driving a car.
I don't even know what you're talking about. I mean, like a car, like an accident insurance claim?
Yeah. Never called the insurance company to
never
come
had
out.
Never like an adjuster come out or anything. Yeah.
No.
I think I've only done that
never,
once.
Never had it happen.
I did it once, yeah.
I know, but it's not a good way of thinking. I think it's low self-esteem way of thinking. But anyway, Amy, what do you get for unemployment? How much are they giving you?
Less than half of what I was bringing home. No. Again, I just...
Thank you for that exact number.
No, we need to know. We don't know. We have no idea what kind
yes,
of
we do.
Dollar amount.
I have her tax returns from the previous tax year in front of me, and I can see that she made $46,922.
So
half of that would be $23,450 ballpark.
Give or take, yeah.
So, and then we spread that over a 12-month period. Yes, how much do they give you, Amy?
Dollar amount. She hung up?
She hung up.
Or she just got that thing shut disconnected.
No, she hung up. She didn't want to say a number.
Well, part of the reason it was relevant was we're going to see how much of a screwball the husband is. I mean, what's he doing with all that money?
I'm also curious. I want to know what you get.
I always thought unemployment would be like, well, $200 a week or something? Just everybody gets the same?
Unemployment is not welfare. It's you. Once you get into the highest bracket, you can get a pretty good chunk. I don't know.
Where does
it
come
from? We can figure
it
out. I think you pay into it when you're working.
Have we been doing that?
I'm pretty sure we have, yeah.
So we're paying somebody else's unemployment. Like everything, we pay somebody else's stuff. That's fine.
That's right. That's good. No, it's great. It's awesome. Tiffany.
I could take a couple weeks off and go on unemployment?
I'd like to do more of it. Yeah, I think you could. And I don't know. Haftard.
Yes, sir.
Find out the...
He calls you Haftard?
Sure does. It's fucking awesome.
You respond to Haftard?
It's not full tard.
What am I supposed to do?
It's not even 3/4 tard or 5/8 tard.
God.
It's not even 9/16 tard.
And
by
the way,
all the way down
it's not,
to
it's
half
not like
tard.
You're like, yes, sir. It's like you jumped to the microphone. Like you flew across the room to the microphone.
It's half tard. It's not full or, like I said, 9/16. Find out, at least in California, like what the max is. Because I know, look, see, Drew, once you make over 100 grand, you just get into like max.
That's fine. It's still interesting, though.
It'll be interesting to find out what the max guys would do. And then let's see if we can take a few weeks off, get some of our money back. 7-year-old son gets nosebleeds every night.
Uh-oh.
Jesus, 7 and already on the booger sugar.
Yeah. Tiffany, been seen by an ear, nose, and throat doctor?
He's just been seen by the pediatrician.
And what do they see when they look in there? Do they see something eroded?
No, they just, you know, they tell me to, you know, I can apply something in his nostrils every night.
Is he a little picker?
Mm-mm.
No. I had it when I was younger as well, but I kind of grew out of it.
My kid's got it too at a certain point. What is that, Drew?
Yeah. Well, it's called the Kieselbox plexus. It's up in front here in the septum. And it's usually like a picking going.
Dryness.
Yeah. And the vessels are right there at the surface so they can bleed really easily.
Yeah, but why, like when I was in high school, it happened to me a few times. I was just standing out in the outfield and my nose started bleeding on a hot, dry day. But why doesn't it happen as an adult? It never happened. Like once I became an adult, then I started doing, you know, construction. I was up on roofs and stuff, but it didn't happen anymore.
I don't know for sure, but I'm just guessing, and this is going to be sort of a hand-waving explanation, is that, you know, your soft tissue grows as you would, particularly in your nose and face and stuff. You get more soft tissue.
Sure.
And the vessels probably are less on the surface.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if you ever seen, look, kind of shine a light up inside of your septum here. It is vascular, very rich.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why when you get punched, you get a real easy nosebleed.
Yeah. It's also why if you do a lot of cocaine, it constricts those vessels and the whole thing dissolves.
Mm-hmm. That's why I shoot it or smoke it.
Smoke it. Smoke is better.
Yeah. Maximum weekly in California is $450.
All right.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Weekly.
Yeah.
Get by on that. Mm-hmm. All right. So ear, nose, and throat doctor, yes?
Yeah, because there can be growths and things further upstream, not just in the acoustal box plexus, that A, need different kinds of treatments, and B, sometimes are more serious, but usually it's just one of those things.
Had sex with his best friend's girlfriend. Option on premature birth, recovering addict. All right, let's talk to Bryson.
Yeah, 18.
That's a name.
It is,
Bryson.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Hey, Bryson.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Sounds like a Bryson, too. Imagine if he didn't.
He's calling from Battle Creek, Michigan. That's such an important part of my childhood.
Kellogg's.
Battle Creek, Michigan. Yeah, because everything was always send away. Send those box tops away to Battle Creek, Michigan.
Cereal City, USA.
Well, the Post and Kellogg's were there, right?
Yeah.
It seemed to me that there were two places that I needed to send shit away to. Battle Creek, Michigan, and Pueblo, Colorado. When I sat home and pretended to be sick because I hated school and watched TV all Friday or even on the weekend, it was send those things to Battle Creek, Michigan. And Pueblo, Colorado was if I needed more information.
Yeah. What is that?
Which I never felt like I needed.
Right.
I felt like I had up to my ears in information. But it's like if I needed more information about workplace discrimination – that's where I was going to go. Pueblo, Colorado.
What was that?
Pueblo, Colorado. I think it's like a fucking governmental hub.
That's what I'm thinking. It must have something to do like where the
It's like airlines. You know, it's like it's like what Atlanta or Minneapolis or Denver or something. I don't know what St. Louis. Like I don't know. Like each airline has its hub,
right?
Pueblo, Colorado is the information hub of the United States.
Was the underground nuclear arsenal,
Cheyenne Mountain.
Yeah.
I don't know why it's Pueblo, Colorado, but if you want to find out how to start a small business and or you think you're being discriminated against in as it pertains to housing, you know what I mean?
I'm looking it up right now. I have this phone thing. You can look stuff up. It's awesome.
Then I found out who the guest is going to be on Annie Cohen.
Would you like that?
Then you just go to Pueblo, Colorado, and they would send you a pamphlet, and that would straighten everything out. All your problems would melt away. If everything could be solved, when I was 9, between Battle Creek, Michigan and Pueblo, Colorado, that's all you needed.
It's an official website.
All right. So anyway, you had sex with his best friend's girlfriend, and you want to know if you should tell your friend you did this.
Right.
Oh, shit. Maybe put him
on. It's supposed to be her. She's supposed to have her pregnant sometime this week. And
her what?
She's supposed to have her period sometime this week. And right now she's 2 days late. And so not really sure what to do and where to go. What do you guys think?
Well, why didn't she get a pregnancy test, first of all?
Sounds a little bogus.
Yeah, it does sound very bogus.
You know why? Because he ends it with, what do you guys think?
Yeah.
Bogus.
Yeah, I actually agree with you. But
sorry, Bryson. You can't spell bogus without spelling Bryce. Oh, I guess you could. All right.
Well, I gotta give you guys credit. You, Dr. Drew, retweeted me, and Corolla direct messaged me. So
what did I retweet you about?
I was in the library.
You were laughing today. This was you.
Yeah, I was. This is finals week at community college, and
Hold on, the room's spinning. All right, let me just get my feet under me. Okay, Drew, you take over for a second. I got to breathe into a
community
bag.
Community college, and you're studying for finals, and in the library.
I've listened to both your both podcasts, and I was dying.
Thanks, buddy.
Well, you're part of the magic now, my friend.
Thank you. And thanks. And listen, here's the thing. And we used to have this on Loveline all the time. There's a certain decorum, a certain Marquise of Queensberry that you need when it comes to the bogus call, which is when we say bogus.
You just say, okay.
If it's bogus, you have to say okay, because it's unfair to us because we have no scientific way of checking this.
Right.
And if you want to say, I got full-blown AIDS – because, you know, I was raped by a wild boar in Mexico.
Yeah.
And we go bogus, and you go, I swear to God, I just returned from the doctor's office.
Yeah, then we're like.
Then we have to continue as if that happened. So if we cry bogus, and we rarely do, but if we do and it is, then you have to step up to the bogus plate and admit it.
That's what we're saying. Hats off to Bryson.
Yeah. And
hats off. Well done, Bryson.
And it and a tip to folks who are doing the bogus call, don't end the question and then go, so what can you do?
Or no. Is that normal?
Yeah, is that normal? Is not a good one either. Yeah. These are indicators for bogus calls.
So, Adam, I'm scrolling through this City of Pueblo website, and mm-hmm. I got city maps, and I got all kinds of shit.
You know what you want to be? You know what a good gig is? You work in the City of Pueblo, Colorado, and you're a printer, because there's a lot of pamphlet work going on out
evidently.
There. That's the other thing. I've never collected unemployment. I've never asked the government for a pamphlet on something. Hey, I want to be a better dad. Could you go ahead and send that pamphlet out from Pueblo, Colorado? I'd really like to look into being a better dad.
Let me just say, it's a very unsatisfying search.
The Pueblo, Colorado.
I don't see any of the hints as to why this was such a center of information in the 70s.
If you're sending things to Battle Creek, Michigan, you're doing pretty good. And if you're sending stuff to Pueblo, that's not good.
And those strange, look at the way they have it spelled there underneath the little tower. It strangely looks weird.
Yeah.
The word looks weird, the way they have it on the
Pueblo.
Side.
Yeah. All right. You ready to rock here?
Excuse me.
Let's see. Options for birth control, recovering addict, girlfriend got diagnosed with HPV.
Ooh.
Mm. Hey, Sean.
Hey, guys.
Your girlfriend got the HPV?
Yeah. Found that out.
Hey, do we need the H in the HPV? Like, couldn't we do the human math? I think I feel like I could do. Your girlfriend, what species is she? Is she a reptile or fowl?
I haven't checked yet.
I'll do the papillomavirus, but I don't need the H. I don't need the human part in there.
Right.
For that matter, the band Human League could just call themselves the League. I'll do the human math. I can see what you are. You're not Buffalo.
Yeah.
All right. So she got the HPV.
Yes. She went and got it checked out. They looked at it, was hoping to find nothing. They found a bit of dysplasia,
right,
from what I understand.
All right, and hold on a second.
All right, so let's walk down this road.
We need to take a break.
Oh.
I'm going to walk down the bathroom road.
I will. That's a good
idea. And when we come back, you can tell all the people, and you believe that everyone has the now
half of them.
PV.
Half of the Sean age group does, yeah.
And we'll tell them what to do after this.
Available now from Corolla Digital. An evening with Adam Carolla and Dennis Prager, Philadelphia and Redondo Beach. 4 hours of stimulating discussion.
Maybe it's affluence. We have it so good that if people aren't frightened of something, they don't feel they're fully alive.
Uncensored audience questions.
All right, so can we put the lights up a little bit? Line up at the sides if you'd like to ask about anything, as I say on my own.
Wow.
Anything under the sun.
And hilarious commentary.
Well, the truth is, American ethnic groups get along so well. Look at you and me.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are you?
I am a old black blues musician.
See?
Episcopalian.
I didn't even notice that. That's how healthy it is.
Only $7.99 through the store at AdamCarolla.com or on iTunes.
Yeah. Thank you for hanging with us. Thanks for making the show so GD popular. And go to iTunes, give us a nice 5-star rating, leave a comment, watch us climb the charts. Thank you very much. We'll keep this going for you. I know people have wanted to hear our voices reunited, and that's what we're giving you. So tell a friend and all the old Loveline fans out there who may have missed this old combination of Loveline. Well, it's back again.
Speaking of the old combination, our relationship, it's finding its way again.
Mm-hmm.
And back in the hall here during our quick break when you gave me shit for getting a piece of turkey on your pristine floor.
Not a piece.
And I told you to fuck off, and I thought, wow, I feel like a little kid, like swinging, at his dad or something. It seems so pathetic. As opposed to when you say fuck off, it's like everyone, like their hair goes up on the back of their neck, right? These guys start hopping around like beans, right?
Beans.
Like, jumping around like jumping
beans. No one
knows
what Mexican jumping beans are.
We used to have, they were novelty in the 70s.
Yeah, now they got their fucking, that was our video game. It was a small cup filled with beans that moved around, and
they're
we'd
peanuts,
stare at
basically.
It forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at that bean. It just rolled over. No, that was not the wind. It did it That bean moved on its own. Oh, look at that bean. It just went from like pointing at like 4 o'clock to like pointing at like 5:30. You know?
Mexican jumping bean. That's what that bean was.
The biggest entertainment was the Mexican jumping bean, and then they had the Venus flytrap.
Like
your mom would drag you along, and you'd go to like the pottery store or whatever it was, you know. And there would be they'd have all the plants, the nursery, and then by the front, they'd have like this, and you'd go, look, I'm gonna put my finger in it. Look, see, it moved. It's a plant that moves, sort of like when you see the wind hit a tree with no wind.
Yeah,
it moved, dude.
It's magic.
Yeah,
it's trying to bite.
It could eat a fly. Although you never see it eat a fly, all you do is take a pencil and push it into the thing and watch it just sort of contract like a sea anemone. But that was it. That and the spirograph. That's all we had.
That was big time by the time you got to that.
Yeah, and the Etch-a-Sketch. This is big time. Now my kids are playing these crazy video games on their like 70-inch plasma TV. But Drew, we were in the next room and we're all taking a bite of our sandwich, and Drew decided he would stand up and eat his, and then he dropped shit all over the floor. And then I told him to go sit at the table. He's making a mess. And then he sat at the table and made a mess. Drew, you got to see the carnage left behind.
I will. I'll go clean up.
But I'll tell you, Drew. Yeah. I'll tell you how Drew works. I'll tell you how Drew is wired. If anyone wants to know about Drew and wants to know what drives me nuts about Drew. Drew is hardwired. So we did a show in Bakersfield, and we're going to be doing some more shows out and about, and we're just getting out there, and we're telling some stories and answering some questions and doing the Adam and Drew show. Now, we were in Bakersfield, and we did about an hour. although, whenever I say, all right, we're wrapped up, let's go to break, and Drew goes, one more question. The one more question is always horrific, and I think that happened in Bakersfield.
Happened, yes.
But
that was the guy that said, do some Germany or Bakersfield.
That was the last question. So our plan was we're going to go out. We're going to do about 50 minutes. We're going to do about 50 minutes, and then we're going to take a quick little break, a little intermission. People can enjoy their mangria, and then we'll come out, and we'll do like another 40 minutes, and that'll be the show. And at about 55 minutes, close to 60 minutes, I said, all right, we're going to take a quick intermission. We'll be back. And Drew went, let's just one more question. Okay. All right. I'd announced we're going to intermission, but you had to jump in and go, one more question. So I said, one more question. And he pointed at a drunk dude in front who had his hand up, and he goes, do Germany or Bakersfield? And I said, all right, Drew. Well, there you go.
first, we went around a couple times then. Like, all right. It's a show. It's a game we did, Germany or Florida. So tell us the story. Yeah. Do Germany or Bakersfield.
Yeah, that's what he kept saying.
Three times.
Do Germany or Bakersfield.
And we just said, you need a
story. So that's how we left the stage. Then we got back onto stage. And I said, look, okay, we're going to do about 35, 40 minutes, take some questions, and then I'll end with Tim, the Russian rapper. Because people enjoy it, and one of these days I'll do it for you guys. But most of you fans know the bit, and that's how we'll end. So we'll go do about 35, 40 minutes. We'll end with that. So we go out there, and we do about 45, 50 minutes, and somehow end on a big joke. Somebody stands up, asks a question. I do one of my rants. The place starts applauding. They're laughing, and I say, and with that, we'll be seeing you next time, Bakersfield. Thank you very much for coming out tonight. We do appreciate it. And I start to take a step off the stage, and Drew goes, hold on. What about Tim, the Russian rapper? I said, Drew, I didn't tell people I was going to do Tim, the Russian rapper. I told
you
I was going to do
mistake of telling me
Tim, the Russian rapper. But we just went out with a big laugh and big applause, and we're at about 45, 50 minutes. So and I just said we're done. So here we go. But we had to stop and come back and do Tim the Russian rapper.
Yeah. Would have been disappointed had we not. I would have been so disappointed.
Okay.
Come on.
But you do understand that when people are clapping and laughing and I'm saying goodnight to everybody, that means we can leave the stage
I do
at
now.
That point.
I do.
You do now.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. HPV.
All right.
And we get rid of the H. We go PV.
So papillomavirus that affects humans is mm-hmm. something extremely common in sort of young males and females of reproductive age, like maybe 50% of them. The majority of people say in the early 20s and late teens that get this, it's a self-limited process, highly contagious, but goes away on its own.
Self-limited.
Meaning it goes away on its own. Self-limited. Time.
Oh, the disease is self-limited.
Yeah, the infection is self-limited
mm-hmm.
and goes away on its own. But a certain percentage will hang around, and the ones that hangs around and cause warts tends to also be the one that causes cancer or be associated with the one that causes cancer. And you can prevent that those particular strands of the virus, those subtypes, by getting the vaccine, everybody. Everybody on the fucking planet should be getting this vaccine.
Baby.
They give it in the young adolescent years.
Because that's when it's most effective.
Because that's when it's most effective. I gave it to my kids myself because their pediatrician approved it, and I just zapped it in.
Mm-hmm.
And now they will not get cervical cancer, penile cancer, or head and neck cancer. We talked about this last time.
Mm-hmm.
So let this be a warning, young Sean, that you need to get that vaccine, right?
Well,
the thing is, she did have the vaccine.
All right, so then
I did not.
All right, then you don't need to worry about the kind of – why are they – they need to do their due diligence, but you don't need to be really concerned that this is the kind of HPV that's going to cause cancer.
It's funny. There's a right version and a left version of all these arguments, which is there's a right the right version is if you give the kid the vaccine at age 9, it's going to make them amorous and want to go out and have sex.
And God knows then we better stop giving the hepatitis B vaccine at age 1 because those kids are going to get carried away.
Right. We all
sexually transmitted disease.
Right, right, right. We all know that. And then they used to make that argument about condoms. You know, you give the kid the condom and then it's going to make them go out and use it. And then there's a left version, which is, you know, if the guy has a gun, then he's going to want to go out and use the gun on people. I mean, for protection at the home. And I'm not a gun fan, but I'm just saying they're both sort of spurious arguments. Yes, if there's a gun in the home and it's not properly treated, yes. But also your girl could not properly treat her vagina. These things don't cause people to shoot people or to have sex with people when responsible people are.
If you really follow
them.
That logic down, you're going
to
start doing female genital mutilation because God knows having a vagina is what the problem is.
Sure.
You understand?
Yes.
I mean, you really follow that logic, that's where that goes. But let me just say, as far as the dysplasia goes with your girlfriend, not all causes of cervical cancer are related to these viruses. So, and not all the viruses are covered by the vaccine, so there's some people do still slip through. So she, of course, does need to get a proper management.
All right, let's take our last call. We'll speak to Brad from Verona, New Jersey. Brad?
Yeah, hi, how are you?
33 years of age. What's going on?
Not much. It's good to talk to you guys.
Good to speak to you.
Give me 1 second. I'm actually at work.
All right.
What kind of work are you doing?
Give him 1 second, Verona.
Shipping clerk.
Give him a second.
Order coming through.
Drew, you didn't give him 0.3 seconds.
No, we're talking through. Here, give him a second.
You screamed, what kind of work do you do? And he said, give me a second.
Yeah, but see, not as literal as you. Some people can squeeze in a little something before they take that second.
But he's saying, I need to do something.
Yeah, you can go answer my question and go do something.
Sorry, you guys picked up right when I was standing right in front of my boss. So
that's
a little bit of an awkward.
Here, watch. Let's recreate that moment, Drew.
You
asked for a second. You asked for a second.
Give me a second here.
Yeah, I say, give me a second. I'm at work.
Hey, guys, you just picked up and I'm at work. Hang on a second. I need a second.
What do you do?
I'm with patients right now. Hang on a second.
That's what I'm saying. You needed a second. He was in front of somebody.
Well, real quick before I get into this, Adam, I just have to ask you one question. You always complain about flavored iced tea.
Mm-hmm.
But wasn't the Dawson's Creek incident caused by a peach iced tea?
What?
No, there was a peach iced tea incident that happened when I was doing Drew. Okay, I don't know if you remember this.
I remember North Carolina.
Mike Lynch can probably help out with this. About 5 years ago, an Asian kid came in and he wanted to shoot some sort of video for like CBS radio in the home office or something.
So we've set the whole thing for this. This is now
I'm working doing the morning show.
Okay.
I'm doing the morning show.
Okay.
And they would always do these kooky things where it's like Herb Wobblestein is either retiring or he's getting a promotion and he's out in New York and they want a video message delivered at the banquet. Could you just sit down after the show? Just take 5 minutes. We'll do the crew. They'll just film it. They'll zap it over to those guys. And it's just a few things, a couple of beats they want you to hit. And it'd be funny if you busted Herb's chops just a little bit. And his wife's name is Connie. And he's moved from CEO to CFO in the North American division, but not the European division. Anyway, if you could just do a couple of jokes on a couple of those things, be pretty funny. We'll just sit you down here. And it always turns into a fucking clusterfuck because I always say to the guy, okay, you have all this information. Yeah, you need to get in the fact that you need his wife's name, you need his supervisor's name. His supervisor's name is Lee. His wife's name is Connie. God. And then it's funny because he went from CEO to CFO. We didn't work a little that in. And then you go, okay, do you have a cue card or something with these names on it? And they go, we could write it down if you want. And it's like, what's your fucking fantasy?
Yeah.
Your fantasy is that you're just going to download a whole shitload of information with me and dates.
Just have you walk off the air or while you're on the air even oftentimes.
Off the air, between commercials or something. And then just fucking just prattle off this whole fucking thing about somebody I've never heard of.
Yeah.
And it's like you're so interested in getting it done, but where's your fucking cue card then if this is what you want done? So this Asian kid, he comes in and he has this thing. We're going to go into Jack Silver's office. We're going to have you pretend to be like the program director. And then we're going to have Dave Damaschek come in. And he's going to be like, he'll be one of the buyers. And then he'll come in. And I've written a whole bunch of dialogue for you guys to do. But it's like 6 pages of dialogue. But I can't memorize all this. And neither can Dave. And I don't know what we're doing
here. They get weird on you when you can't memorize it, too. You're like teleprompter. So why do you need a teleprompter?
And they think it's only going to take a minute.
Yeah, it's going to take a minute. Yeah. Oh no. We'll get your shot over Dave's shoulder, and then we'll turn it around, and we'll get Dave's reaction shots. And I said, "Look. You understand? No. Dave will come in with a briefcase, and then he'll open the briefcase. I said, "No. Listen. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to look into the camera. You tell me the guy's name. I'm going to wish him a happy birthday and congratulate him on his promotion and say a few funny lines, and then that will be that.
And by the way, we'll have the full impact of anything else that they could imagine.
And then they pause, and you realize you have to take people from their horrible, retarded ideas and get them away from it like 1 centimeter at a time. So they go, okay, but then Dave comes in with the briefcase, and you go, no, there's no Dave with the briefcase. There's no scenario. This idea you've had about me sitting in the office and Dave coming in and me playing the program, we're not doing it. It's too much dialogue. I don't know what it is. Dave doesn't know what it is. I will look set up. I'll look into the camera, and then you'll hold the briefcase or something. And I was like, no. There's none of that. There's none of that. There's no Dave. There's no briefcase. It's just me and the camera. We're going to knock this out. It's going to take 30 seconds. You get the camera set up. I'll hit the beats, and that's what we'll do. Well, can we at least do it from the office as the program director? I'm like, no. It's a totally different idea. And then he goes, you know what? This is the same kind of behavior you displayed when you were doing that MTV show. And I was an intern on the MTV show when you guys were down in Panama Beach, and you were doing your special, Austin Powers special with Mike Myers from Panama City.
Yeah.
For spring break, that big MTV show. Yeah, this is the same kind of attitude. I remember you being a dick back then, and you're still a dick. And
I was like, predict. Then you said, "All right, that's it. Goodbye. Going home."
No, I did that. Yes, I did. But first I said, what are you talking about in Panama Beach, Florida, and what's going on? And Panama City. And he said, I was an intern for MTV. And I said, yeah? What did I say to you? And he said, you were in the makeup chair, and I was told to ask you if you wanted something to drink. So I said, yeah? So what happened? And he said, you asked for a Diet Peach Snapple. And I said, yeah. Now, he's making fun of me because I had a flavored iced tea. But Snapple, just made the Diet Peach. I didn't know that they made the Diet regular iced tea back in the day.
I think then they started with the Diet Peach and Diet Raspberry, didn't they?
That's what it felt like to me. Yeah. So I wanted a Diet Snapple.
Yeah.
I would have taken a Diet regular Snapple with lemon, but I don't think they had it. So I said, correct or incorrect, I just wanted a Diet Snapple.
Yeah.
So I said, give me a Diet Peach Snapple. And he said, yeah, okay. And then he said, then I went to like five liquor stores. And none of them had peach juice.
Peach juice.
And I said, no, a peach Snapple. And he said, yeah, they didn't have peach juice. None of them had. And then at a certain point, he said, they had peach iced tea Snapple, but they didn't have a peach Snapple. And I said, well, Snapple's iced tea, and they have just that's what I was talking about. Well, you weren't clear, he said.
My God.
I went to five different stores looking for peach juice. Like, it's literally looking for, like, peach in its raw form.
So he was expecting you to be one of those assholes that wants the turkey cut a certain way when he asked for a turkey sandwich.
I said, give me a peach Snapple. When I say give me a peach Snapple, I just meant I didn't say iced tea. I said, give me a diet.
That's all they had.
So he went to a fucking liquor store.
There was no
store.
Snapple lemonade or anything like that back then.
By
it was
the
just
way,
iced tea.
For 99 cents, would have been hurt to buy the Diet Peach Snapple iced tea and then go, is this what you meant? And if I said no, he could have just drank it.
Yeah, but mind you, he was projecting all that shit on you. Right. So he would yell at me. He was
so
such an asshole.
I said, what happened? What happened then where I was an asshole? He said, well, I came back a half hour later and I said I couldn't find it. They didn't have it. And I said, oh, okay, well, then give me a Diet Coke. I said, how does that make me an asshole? He said, you're a dick. I said, fuck you. And this guy was such a fucking douche, and I don't know what the fuck I don't know what people are expecting out of life. I hope this guy's dead or killed himself or his fucking his dad shot him like Marvin Gaye. Yes.
He died holding his breath.
He was the Japanese guy.
Statue of him.
He was a statue.
There's a statue outside Kyoto.
On the futon outside of Kyoto. Jesus Christ.
Oh my God, what a story.
And
this is a guy that worked for CBS or something?
I don't fucking know. It's one of the many asshole guys who thinks he's going to be a fucking filmmaker, a documentary filmmaker, is a fucking hack.
So did you not do anything?
Of talent. I think I told him to fuck off that was that. Yeah. Brad?
No. Oh, he's back at work.
Brad's back at work.
He's on line five, by the way, not line one.
Oh, shit. Well, then.
That might have something to do with it.
Yeah, hey, takes a big man to admit when he's wrong. Brad?
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
I just hung up on Brad.
Brad,
are you there?
No, he's not. He's on line five.
Oh, shit.
I fucked that one up.
The whole thing didn't work.
Yeah. It's catch
there,
catch can. No, he fucking.
No, Brad. Nah. God.
No. All right. Recovering addict, now in a relationship with a married woman.
Call back.
He'll be able to listen to this when I give him all the information he needs to know. All right. Addiction, that's number one. That's your number one focus.
Right.
Because if you slide off of that, you take everything with
it.
Everything
right.
goes with it. The relationship goes, the work goes, the kids. Whatever it is you have in life, don't compartmentalize addiction.
No, right.
Because once the addiction goes, it takes everything with it.
That's right. You've seen that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here's the deal. If you are recovering less than 12 months, you are not to be in a relationship for a goddamn good reason because it will take you down. Mm-hmm. It will end your recovery. So if this relationship began less than 12 months into your recovery, it needs to end. It says it's with a married woman. The other feature of recovery is living a certain kind of life, honest life, spiritually clean.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you're in a good place. It does not sound like
right.
where you need to
so
be.
So we frown upon this relationship, but would like you to focus on your recovery.
Yes.
And if you'd like to see us coming to your town live, the Loveline Tour, Santa Barbara, Denver, Redondo Beach, all coming up. Tickets available. And we're talking about February, March, and April coming up in 2013. You can go to the website, check out the venues, the dates, and the sites, and all that good stuff. Support the show. Click the Amazon banner on the Adam and Drew page and put a little wind in the new pirate ship we're building, the SS Dr. Drew and Ace Carolla. And so next time, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew, Chris Maxipata, Mike Lynch, and Gary Haftard saying, mahalo.
This is Corolla Digital.